So what is truth? That's what we're looking at. And today is the last installment of that topic that we're currently taking. So last week, we looked at the life of Joseph in the Bible. Today, we're going to carry on and look at the life of another man in the Bible, Peter, who was a very prominent follower of Jesus, who was an apostle with Christ. And when we're looking at truth, we're comparing truth with the facts of your life. So the distinguishing thing between fact and truth is this. Fact is what you see on a daily basis. Fact is the reality of what is happening to you in life. But truth is what God says about you as an individual. So we saw in the life of Joseph last week, just summarizing, where Joseph had a dream, a God-given dream, and God had put him, had shown him that he was going to be something in life. God showed him the plans that he had for him. That's Joseph, when we were looking at that last week. But straight away, Joseph began to go through situations and circumstances in life, which were facts. He went from prison, he went to prison, he was sold, and a lot of things happened to him in his life that were facts. Everybody around him could see what was happening. He could see what was happening to him as well. However, if Joseph had stayed at the facts level of life, he wouldn't have achieved God's plan for his life. But he allowed truth, which comes from God, to supersede the facts in his life. So what we're looking at is this. What is truth? Why is your knowledge of truth important to you as an individual, to those around you who you influence as well? That is the topic for conversation this morning. So we're looking at the final installment. What's truth? We're looking at the life of a man called Peter. And I'm going to read a number of verses just to highlight some stories. But the key scripture for us in this series is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. That's the underlining scripture. And I'll read. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So that is the plan for every single one that is sitting here today. Actually, that is the plan for everyone who is born on this planet. But that plan doesn't always come to pass. That plan of God is the truth for the life of every individual. Irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what is happening to you or around you. So let's bear that portion of scripture in mind, Jeremiah 29, 11. While I read the story of Peter, very prominent apostle of Christ. So I'm just going to spend about 10 to 15 minutes just going through the story. Then we will draw out the facts of the whole text. So I'll start from Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 to 33. Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 to 33. And I'll read. "Then Jesus told them, 'This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead into Galilee. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never fall away." So Jesus was with his disciples. He had been with them for about 3 years. They followed him everywhere. They saw him perform miracles. They were his disciples. They were excited seeing what Jesus was doing. Jesus was training them, and they were like, "Man, this is fantastic." And a time came, and Jesus called all of them. And he said, "Tonight, something is going to happen to me. And when that thing happens to me, all of you are going to run away from me." I mean, Peter was like, every other person can run away, not me. He really loved Jesus. So That was the setting. And Jesus just said, well, I prayed for you anyway, Peter. Peter said, oh, he must have thought to himself, I'm really disappointed. How could Jesus even think that I can ever go away, or maybe some other person. Definitely not me. That was what Peter thought. And you know what? He meant it. Now, we progress to the next part of the story. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Then, in the evening, that very night, some people came to arrest Jesus. Jesus was with Peter and his disciples in a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah, Gethsemane. So Jesus was there with his disciples that night. Then some people came to arrest him. So Luke chapter 22, 54 to 62 says, then seizing him, that's Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the fire, by the fire. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I do not know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. So they arrested Jesus, were taking him away. Peter and all the disciples had run away. So Peter was following Jesus at a distance. He's like, man, this one that they've captured Jesus, I don't want to be captured as well. So he was just like sneaking around, sneaking behind. Then they came to the high priest, the house of the high priest, and they were accusing Jesus. Then you said this, slapping him. They had chained Jesus at that point. And Peter was watching from afar. I'm not quite sure what he was thinking about. Then someone came to Peter, a girl, and said, I recognize you. You go to Pastor Benson's church. But I'm sure nobody in this church would do that. You go to Pastor Benson's church. It's like, what? Pastor Benson? I don't know him. And they're like, okay, no problem. Then the next person comes and says, I saw you on that TikTok video, and you were dancing with Pastor Benson. I saw you taking a picture with the birthday cake and you were eating the cake. And like, no, that was not me. And he denied vehemently. Then, it says in Luke chapter 22, the 58, it says, man, Peter replied, I'm not the person. 59, about an hour later, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. The third person comes to Peter. 60, Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I want you to imagine this scenario, right? Jesus had been chained, slapped, humiliated. They were trying to kill him. And he was there in the high priest's palace, or in the high priest's house. Crowds were saying, this guy is a robber, just kill him. All that roaring sound. They were someone was accusing him. And I said, you are a thief. I saw you steal something in Sainsbury's. They didn't catch you then, but you know, I saw you at... And in the middle of all that commotion, Peter denies Jesus, and the third time Peter does that, Jesus ignores everything that is going on around him, and he turns, and he looks at Peter, and their eyes collide. I cannot imagine what would have been going through the mind of Peter at that point. Peter would have been so disappointed in himself. He will have been so disappointed. He will have been like, I'm finished. How could I have walked with Jesus for 3 years? Jesus healed my mother-in-law. When HMRC came to me to seize my property, Jesus said I should catch a fish, and he paid. Jesus has helped me so much. And in the time that Jesus needed me to be there for him, I denied him. And the Bible says in 62, Luke 22, 62, he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was so disappointed in himself. So, we're talking about truth today. What does this have to do with truth? Just hang on for a moment and we'll see what it has to do with truth. So what does Peter do after this? John chapter 21 verse 3. John chapter 21 verse 3. After a bit, Jesus had been crucified, John chapter 21 verse 3 says, I'm going to fish, Simon told his other colleagues, his disciples. We'll go with you. So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. So he just looked at himself and said, look, what am I going to do? I am of no use to Jesus anymore. I've denied him. Everybody knows that I've denied him. What's there left for me to do? So he just said, well, I'll just go back to my normal daily job. I used to be a fisherman. I'll just go back and just carry on with my life under the radar as usual and just live a life that is just casual as I was. So we see something happening to Peter here, and I believe that happens to us quite a bit as well. Now, you might not have denied Jesus in your walk with him. Probably you have not. But there are times that maybe as believers, at certain points in our lives, we're so excited about God. You're like, maybe you hear a sermon on prayer. Maybe you read something in the Bible, or Pastor Benson just says, Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for you and all that. And you're excited. It's like, yeah, I'm going to really increase and, really pursue my relationship with Christ and all that. And as you start doing all that, something happens to you and you're disappointed in yourself. It's like, look, oh man, I don't even think I should go to church. Then that person's not here, text Pastor Benson. Sorry, Pastor, I can't make it to church today. Who's laughing? Is someone laughing? Are you laughing? You guys don't do that now. They message Pastor Benson, oh, sorry, I can't make it to church today. And Pastor Benson will reply, oh, I hope you're okay. And basically, what the person is doing is, it has nothing to do with maybe God or anybody. It's just the fact that, look, that person is disappointed in themselves. They feel like, well, I can't really be of any good use to anybody, talk less of God. And it's not like, what will I do? Well, maybe I'll just join online sometimes. I'll go about my normal business, all this church business on Sundays. I want to know God. I think I'll just leave that for somebody else. Let me just live under the radar. I don't want to disappoint myself. I don't want to disappoint God, where I'll promise I want to do something, but I don't end up doing it. I'll say to myself, I want to pray, but before I know it, I haven't even opened my Bible in 2 months. I can't do it anymore. Leave it. That was what happened to Peter as well. Peter didn't backslide. He didn't say, well, I don't want to. He just felt, look, I just can't do this. There's no point. There's no point. So Peter would just once in a while come to church. Just before the service ends, he will leave so that Pastor Benson won't be, how are you doing? living under the radar. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? I'll say yes and no. Yeah, my answer to that question, is there anything wrong with that? I'll say yes or no. So what do I mean by I'll say yes or no? I'll say yes or no because yes, your relationship with Jesus is still intact. You love Jesus genuinely. So that's good. That's a yes. Peter still loved Jesus. He didn't say, I'm turning. I don't believe in Jesus. No. So he still loved Jesus. So I'll say yes, there's nothing wrong with what he did. So if someone says, look, I'm not going to that church again. I don't want to be like a fanatic. All this pray. I just want to be. Is there anything wrong with that decision? Yes or no? Yes, you still love Jesus. Yes, Peter still loved Jesus. But no is the other part. No, because even though an individual loves Jesus, even though you love Jesus, even though I love Jesus, I don't think we will be able to really live a fulfilled and a full life in the context of what God has for us. So if Peter had continued like that, we would never have heard of Peter as an apostle, healing people, writing 1 Peter, 2 Peter, being at the forefront of moving the church forward, preached one time, 3,000 people came to the Lord, preached another time. We would never have heard of that. So he would have made heaven, I believe, but the actual plan of God for his life, to affect his life and the lives of others, gone to waste. So that's the no part. That's the no part. But what are we saying here? We're talking about truth. What does truth have to do with all this? Hold that sentence and we'll see what truth has to do with this in a moment. So the last part of the text, John chapter 21, verses 12 to 15. So Peter is fishing, he's like, look, I'm just going to lay under the radar. Nothing too heavy, just all this, I'm just going to take it cool. And John chapter 21, verse 12 to 15, Jesus resurrects and he comes to them. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. They're fishing and Jesus is on the shore. And he says, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples there asked him. They were like, amongst themselves, is this Jesus? Is this him? But they came anyway. Jesus came and he took bread and he gave it to them. And he did this with the same with the fish. This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, John, a son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. If it was you that saw Peter after what he had done, what would you have told him? Don't answer me. I'm just saying that rhetorically. The people in front here, they're just giggling. I don't know why they're giggling. If it was you, what would you have told Peter after he did that? I can tell you a general response. If it was me, I'll block his number. No, I won't block his number. Pastors, it's not good practice for you to block people's number. You know, it's like, you have to be... So I can't block his number. I won't block his number, but it will occur to me. But what will come to me is like, what kind of friend is this? In my dying moment, you denied me. I mean, I don't have anything to do with you. Am I sure you're not going to do the same thing next time? How can I trust you? What kind of friend are you? Look, just stay on your own lane. Let me stay on my lane. Do your stuff. Let me do my stuff. Don't, you know, I'm not saying I hate you or anything, although I don't like you, you know, for your, but, you know, just stay on your lane. Let me stay on my lane. If possible, don't call or text me. If you text me, well, but preferably, just, you know. But I know nobody in this church, those kind of thoughts cannot go through your minds. Everybody that's sitting here, you don't think those kind of things at all. So it's just me. People have annoyed me so much. I remember there was one time that someone did something this individual did something so hurtful to me that I was so pained. And the interesting thing is this. When I got home that day, after the whole, I was like, God, this is too much. Let this person just, let them just, you know. And what God just put in my heart is, I understand, but you have to forgive them. Apart from that, not only do you have to forgive them, in a few months' time, they're going to need your help, and you should help them. Do you know what I did? I just said, God, for this one, let me think about it. So I went to the fridge, got one big bowl of ice cream, got one big bottle of Coca-Cola, although that was before. I have to put that out there. We don't drink Coca-Cola in my house anymore. Took the ice cream, took the Coca-Cola, got one big chicken, I ate it, and I slept that day because I just didn't want to think about it. Jesus did not do that. Why? Because of truth. Jesus did not do that. So, what is truth? The truth of the matter is this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It says, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That is truth. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That is truth. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. It says, for the Lord Almighty has proposed, and who can thwart it? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? So the first point I want to make to us with regards to truth is this. Irrespective of what an individual does, the Bible says the plans of God for that individual is irrevocable. Unless that individual themselves come out of that plan by themselves. As long as they do not. As long as they understand that wherever I am, the truth of God is hanging over me, and they come back to Christ. Jesus said, the plans of God are irrevocable. Number one truth. So, Peter thought, I'm done. God's done with me. It's like, if maybe there was something else, maybe Jesus would have forgiven me, but with this one, he can never. I'm done. But Jesus came to him and he made that point to him that no, God can never be done with an individual. Did I say that? No. The Bible says, it says his plans for that individual are irrevocable. So that is truth. So truth is this, irrespective of where you are or however you feel about yourself, whatever you feel about yourself, whatever opinion you might have about yourself might be valid. You might say, man, I'm so lazy. Man, I'm so whatever. It might be true that you're lazy. It might be true that you're fearful. It might be true that you are impulsive. It might be true that you have a temper. You know, nobody can say anything to you. You deal with them. You give them a piece of your mind. That might be you. It might be that you've done things that are, you know, you're even embarrassed about. Am I saying those things are okay? No, I'm not saying they're okay. But what I am saying is this. The truth of God is that whatever it is you feel about yourself or you know about yourself cannot override the truth of God. It cannot. Am I preaching hyper grace? No. The Bible says in Romans that how shall we continue in sin? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. Truth overrides whatever it is you might be feeling about yourself. Number one point. Number two point. I'm going to make 3 points this morning and we'll pray. Number two point is this, that we need to realize about truth and our journey with God. The weaknesses we have, or the temperaments we have, or the things that we do that are not good. You know, in the case of Peter, Peter was fearful. He's like, man, I don't want to get killed. He was impulsive. Any weakness that you have, maybe you're whatever it is, angry, you, or whatever. Those things are meant to push you towards God, not to take you away from Him. Why am I saying this? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. So you have weaknesses. Everyone has weaknesses. But those weaknesses are not supposed to paralyze you and make you feel that you are nothing. What Jesus wants us to do with our weaknesses is to bring them to Him and say, you know what, Jesus, this is how I am. And I do not like this about myself. This is what I do. And it is not getting me anywhere. You need to help me. So Jesus knew the weakness of Peter in this circumstance, that Peter was fearful, and He also knew what was going through the mind of Peter as well. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came to him. Jesus came to him. So the second point I'm making this morning about truth is this. Anything in your life that is a fact, anything that is in your life that is not the best, is not good for you, or things or attitudes that you have, and you're like, look, this thing is not ideal at all. Bring it to Jesus, I'm telling you. And let Him help you. So, Jesus understood this about Peter. And He made a point to Peter that, look, Jesus didn't even say, why did He deny me? He knew that, look, this guy is fearful, man. It's obvious. He knew that this man, I mean, Peter knew himself what he was. Jesus wanted Peter to know and to be honest. So He allowed Peter to get to the point where Peter realized that, look, I am fearful, I am just, so that Peter would not be self-reliant in that aspect, but reliant on Jesus. So the second point about truth is this, whatever facts are mitigating against your life, the truth of Jesus can override that thing. He can help you and I. The same way He came to help Peter. Do you understand? The final point I want to make this morning about truth. I've said in the first instance that the plan that God has for you and I are eternal. Doesn't change. The second point I made this morning is that the weaknesses in our lives are not meant to take us away from God. They're meant to draw us to Him so that He can help us. So the third and final point I'm making is this. So how do you, in the walk of life that we have, how do we keep applying the truth of Jesus into our lives in every twist and corner and every turn? Very simple. Very simple. When I say very simple, simple in the sense that God has not made it complicated to you and I. God hasn't said, if you're going to apply the truth of God in your life, climb 7 mountains and swim across 7 oceans, the way Pastor Benson did when he went from England to Canada. He didn't say, do that. If you want to, take an aeroplane. No, you don't have to say, I'm going to prove my love. Now say, I'm going to take a camel across the Sahara. No, you can take an aeroplane. No. On a serious note now, what are the things, which brings me to my final point. How are we able to apply the truth of God consistently in our lives? Every time we find ourselves in a situation where we're like, you know what? I'm done. The first thing is this, realizing from 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9, the B part, it says, it is not by strength that one prevails. So you and I need to realize that your strength is limited. My strength is limited. Peter had to learn a hard lesson to realize that his strength was limited. The next one is this, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. But before I go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, let me read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1. So how do we apply truth? One, realizing that our strength is not sufficient. Number two, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. It says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting kind of love. No, with everlasting love. And I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. So you and I need to constantly remind ourselves that God doesn't want to get you. He's not waiting for you to fail. He's not waiting for you to mess up so he can point his finger at you. No. He says he loves you and I with an everlasting kind of love. And with loving kindness, he has drawn us. So you and I need to realize that this God that we're talking about actually loves us. He's not there to deal with us harshly. Do you understand? And the third and final thing around, okay, how do we apply this to our lives? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus replied, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, your whole being. Now, why is that important? Until you and I really come to the point where we love God, not for anything at all. Not because he does things for us. Not because he provides for us. We appreciate him and we love him for that. But if we can come to the point with the help of the Holy Spirit where we love Jesus just for Jesus, it will transform your lives. It will transform my life. Because then, everything that you do will be motivated by that. It won't be, God, I'm coming to church every Sunday, which you should, and I've applied for a job in that place. I am praying every day, please get me that job. The interview is next week. So if you have a job and the interview is next week, we pray that you get it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you get what I mean? But for this individual, maybe that job doesn't that job that they're looking for is not the one for them, and they don't get that job. It's not like, God, you have disappointed me. I'm not coming to church again. I've been praying. Even if you do that or you've done that, no problem. Just classify it as a tantrum. Put it aside. So what we're saying is this. We love God irrespective whether he meets our expectations at a certain time or not. We want him to, and he desires to, but just peradventure, he doesn't at the time we're expecting. It doesn't matter. We still love him the same. Amen. So I'm going to end here this morning. So we've looked at what is truth. And the main point I've said is this. There is the facts of your life, or there are the facts of your life. There is a view that you might have of yourself because of the things that you have done or that you have experienced, and you're thinking about yourself in a particular way that is like, well, nothing good can come out of my life. Or even if anything good can come out of my life, maybe a bit. The truth of God says no. The truth of God says God has a plan for you. The truth of God says, irrespective of where you are, God's plan still stands. His truth, the expectation that God has for you, can come to pass. And I use that word can, because on his side it is fixed. It can come to pass as you and I align with that plan, knowing that irrespective of what happens to us, God loves us. Irrespective of how we feel, we love him as well. And as we put all these things together, we'll be able to live a life that is joyful. We'll be able to live a life that is directed and infused with the truth of God. Let's pray this morning.